So we have been discussing the fourth chapter of second canto, and in that we started discussing the prayers by Shukadeva Goswami. Yesterday we completed the first prayer where he is offering his obeisances to the three Purushavataras. Namaparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavastana Nirodalilaya Grihita Shaktis Tritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane. Like that. So this is where we paused yesterday. So we'll start from the second prayer onwards now. But before we start, if there are any comments, questions, discussions based on what we discussed yesterday, maybe a few minutes we can take before we start today's discussion. Okay, so we'll start the next prayer. So as we did yesterday, for some of the prayers we will memorize the same way that we did. So please pay attention when we are reading the verse. Pay attention to the words and word meanings so that we can, it will be easy for us to recollect the prayer. Okay, we'll chant together. Bhuyo namasad vrijinachidesatam asambhavaya kilasatva murtaye pumsam punapparamahamsya ashrame vyavastitana manumugya jashuse. So the previous verse spoke about the Purushavataras. Purushavataras means power, Aishwarya. So now he is going to speak about the sweetness of the Lord. Bhuyo namaha. My dear Lord, I again offer my obeisances unto you. And who are you? He says, Sad Vrijina Chide. Sad means devotees. Vrijina means distress. Chide means to destroy. So, as the Supreme Lord, he destroys the suffering of all the devotees. That's how he reciprocates with the devotees. Asatam Asambhavaya. Asatam Asambhavaya means he is even concerned about the demons. Sambhavami or Sambhava means to appear. Asambhavaya means to make someone disappear. So Asambhavaya means to give one, to kill one. That is one superficial understanding. But another meaning is to make one transcend birth and death. Or he gives liberation to the demons. That is the meaning of asambhavaya. Asatam asambhavaya. And how he is able to deal equally for the benefit of the devotees and non-devotees, he says, because he is Akhila Sattva Murti. Akhila Sattva Murti means he is the form of Shuddha Sattva. He is not made of matter. And Pumsam Puna Paramahamsya Ashrame. Ashrama means shelter. He gives shelter to those who are in the mood of Paramahamsas. Pumsam Puna Paramahamsya Ashrame. And then he says, Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. So, he bestows the result of whatever practitioner, whatever he is aspiring for. For devotees, he gives prema. For the jnana yogis, he gives them liberation. For the yogis, depending on what they want, he either gives them siddhis or liberation, like that. So, vyavastitanam. Vyavastitanam means those who are engaged in various kinds of spiritual paths. Anumrugya dashuse. He offers them their desired result, whatever they are aspiring for. Like that, he is glorifying the sweetness of the Supreme Lord, Shukadeva Goswami. First he said, Bhuyo Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, my dear Lord. Sad Vrijinat Chide, you destroy the sufferings of devotees. Asatam Asambhavaya, not and, you destroy the demons and thereby give them liberation. Akila Sattva Murte, you are able to deal equally with both the devotees and non-devotees because you don't have a body which is made of matter. You are made of Shuddha Sattva. And then, Pumsam Punar Paramahamsya Ashrami. You are the shelter of all the Paramahamsas. Or you are the shelter of those who are in the mood of Paramahamsas. And Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. You bestow the results of various kinds of practitioners, whatever they are aspiring for. Like that he is glorifying the Supreme Lord. Can you recollect? What does Shukadeva Goswami say here? Whatever you remember, you just try to recollect. Bhuyo Nama. And then Sad Vrijinat Chide, without looking at your book, you can try to recollect. Sad Vrijinat Chide means one who destroys the suffering of the devotees. What else does he do? Akila Sattva Murtaye, he is the personification of Shuddha Sattva. And then Asatam Asambhavaya, he destroys the demons and gives them liberation. And then he acts as a shelter for the Paramahamsas. Pumsam Puna Paramahamsya Ashrame. And then what else does he do? He bestows the desired result of different kind of spiritual practitioners. Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. Like that. Okay, so we need not memorize this verse, maybe some other verse we will memorize. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, he comments on the word Akila Sattva Murtaye. Khila means inferior. As Narada Muni tells Vyasadev, Manye Taddarshanam Kilam, he says. I consider all these various literatures that you have written to be inferior for this purpose, like that he says. Khilam means inferior. Akhila, as Prabhupada says, means superior or of transcendental nature. So therefore, Akhila Sattva Murtaye means one who has a form which is transcendental, not of this material world. And Murti, Prabhupada commenting on this word Murti, he says, this word indicates that the absolute truth is not impersonal. He has a form. And then Prabhupada comments on Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse, how the Supreme Lord awards results, various results to various different kinds of practitioners. He says, Krishna's reciprocation is according to one's surrender. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. For the devotees, he reciprocates in the form of destroying their suffering. Sad Vrijina Chide. And he also protects the atheists by killing some of them like Ravana to bestow them liberation. Asatam Asambhavaya. But one may say, but this is not natural human nature. Human nature is to act very favorably towards those who are kind to us, those who praise us, those who worship us, and to be at least, if not hateful or revengeful, at least indifferent towards others who may not like us. But how is the Supreme Lord able to act for the benefit of both? Prabhupada writes here, because he is Akila Sattva Murti. He is completely transcendental. He is not affected by the dualities of this material world. And for the Paramahamsas, that is perfected devotee, he awards them prema. And for the so-called Paramahamsas of the impersonal order, he gives them impersonal liberation. Like that. So that is Vyavastitanam Anumrugya Dashuse. Like that he is glorifying the Supreme Lord as for his reciprocal nature, sweet reciprocal nature. Like that. Then he indicates in the next verse that this power and sweetness can coexist in the Supreme Lord. By glorifying both the power of the Lord and the sweetness of the Lord, he indicates that this sweetness and power can generally coexist in the Supreme Lord. So sometimes if someone is like a very powerful and very manly, then it is generally such a person may not have the finer sensitivities. Or in some other cases, if someone is very sensitive and gentlemanly, he may not have the manly power to control. But in the Supreme Lord, these can very comfortably coexist. So that he is indicating here in this verse. We'll chant the verse together.
Namo namaste sturushabaya sattvatam vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam nirasta samyatishaye naradasa swadhamani brahmani ramsyate namaha.
Namo namastestu. I offer my repeated obeisances unto whom? Rishabaya sattvatam. Sattvatam means the yadus. Sattvatam Rishabaya. Rishabaya means the best of the yadus. Is Krishna.
Namo namastestu Rishabaya sattvatam vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam,
who remains forever distant from the non-devotees.
Vidura kashtaya kuyoginam,
durdarshoham kuyoginam, the Lord tells Narada Muni in the first. Avipakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. So like that. So he says, vidura kashtaya muhuk kuyoginam. I keep the non-devotees far away because they don't want to come close to Krishna. So Krishna is not partial. He is reciprocal. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite te shuchapyaham. So by making that statement, Krishna being equal to everyone is not challenged, or it is not compromised. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priya.
Swadhamani brahmani ramsyate namaha.
He says, this Supreme Lord is the enjoyer in a spiritual abode of Mathura and Vrindavan.
Swadhamani brahmani ramsyate namaha.
So here it is mentioned that according to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Goloka is mentioned to be the very form of Brahman. So therefore, Swadhamani Brahmani is actually refers to Vrindavan or Goloka here.
Nirasta Samya Atishayena Radasa.
Radasa means power. Nirasta Samya Atishayena. He is a personality who has unequaled and unsurpassed powers. No one has the same or more power according to, compared to Krishna, like that. So, like that he is glorifying.
Namo namastestu rishabaya sattvatam vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam swadhamani brahmani ramsate namaha.
He is blissfully staying in Vrindavan, performing his various pastimes as a friend, as a lover, as a son, as a master,
in all sweetness, with is untinged with any amount of Aishwarya. Whereas at the same time, he has powers which are unequaled and unsurpassed by anyone else. So the sweetness and power can comfortably coexist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord here. So here it is mentioned, Rishabhaya Satvatam. This phrase can also mean the protector of devotees in respect to the previous verse. So, Sadvrijinat Chide, it was mentioned. So then, Srila Prabhupada writes that he comments on Rishabhaya Satvatam. Prabhupada writes, there are two sides of the transcendental manifestations. Personal planet of the Lord and impersonal rays from his body. In the personal planet, he is enjoying by exchange of five rasas with his pure devotees. And in the Brahma Jyoti, those who are captivated by the bodily effulgence of the Lord, they exist as mere sparks. Like that he is. So for the devotees, he is Rishabhaya Satvatam in his planets. But at the same time, the word Swadhamani can also refer to the Brahma Jyoti for those who want to merge in that impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Vidura Kashtaya Muhukku Yoginam. Prabhupada commenting on this, he says, the mundane people have insufficient knowledge about even this material world. What then to speak of the spiritual world? Krishna and his dham are always inconceivable and non-reachable for non-devotees. Not because he wants to keep them away, but because they don't have a desire to go there. But Krishna actually desires them there. He wants them there. But because they have not developed that faith and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they themselves don't want to go there. They want to live in a place where they remain the center of all their activities. So Krishna allows them to stay in this material world. But having said that, he also sends his devotees to go and touch their heart and offer their heart to Krishna. So when they are ready to offer their heart to Krishna, then he takes them there. Like that. And then Prabhupada commenting on this phrase, Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate. He enjoys performing various pastimes in his own dhamma, Vrindavan. He says that the Lord exists in his transcendental abode is accepted by both the Shrutis and Smritis. Both also agree upon the great attributes of that abode. So how glorious is that Chintamani Prakarasatma Sukalpa Vriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabhi Rabibalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrama Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. Like that. Or as Krishna says, Natat Basayate Suryo Nashashanko Napavakaha Yadgatvana Nivartante Taddhama Paramam Mama. Like that. Then he says, he is such a great personality, he is the Lord of power, he is the Lord of sweetness. Whatever attracts you, you know, he has all those attributes. And then he says, to approach him is very easy. He says, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yad ikshanam, yad vandanam, yat shravanam, yad arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidunodi kalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So the next few verses end with the same fourth line, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So he says, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. I offer repeated respects to the Lord who is filled with all auspicious qualities.
Subhadra Shravase. Or hearing about whose qualities is all auspicious. Yat Kirtanam, glorifying whom. Yat Smaranam, remembering whom. Yad Ikshanam, taking darshan of whose deity form. Yad Vandanam, Yat Shravanam, sorry, there is some problem here. And hearing about him or offering respects to him. Yad Arhanam, worshipping him. Lokasya Sadyo Vidunoti Kalmasham. It immediately destroys the impurities of man. So here he says that the potential of performing the various limbs of devotional service, it is not yat kirtanam cha yat smaranam cha yadikshanam cha yad vandanam and so on. He says yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yadikshanam, any one of those limbs. As in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says that bhakti is can be performed, there is ekanga bhakti and anekanga bhakti. So bhakti can be performed, you can perfect the process of bhakti by predominantly practicing one limb or by predominantly practicing all the limbs or some of the limbs or many of the limbs. So in that way, the path of bhakti is significantly different from like Ashtanga Yoga, which has 8 limbs. But all the 8 limbs are compulsory and sequential in that order. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, even though you may say it has 9 limbs or 64 limbs, not all are compulsory limbs also. And you could predominantly practice one limb and perfect. Like Parikshit Maharaj perfected by hearing, Shukadeva Goswami by Kirtanam, Prahlad Maharaj by Smaranam and so on. And Ambarish Maharaj of course practiced all of them. Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varinane. So, whatever may be one's taste, accordingly one can choose one limb. Like, we were discussing this yesterday and we will touch upon this point today also. That there is ample scope for engaging one's propensities within the realm of bhakti. In fact, Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, after describing about the various limbs of bhakti, he mentions, why is it that some people get attracted to Shravanam, some people get attracted to Kirtanam, some people get attracted to Archanam, deity worship? What is the basis? Is it that is indicative of their eternal position in the spiritual world? Or on what basis do they develop attraction to particular limbs of devotional service? So Rupa Goswami gives a very simple answer. He says, Swavasana Anusarena. Swavasana Anusarena means based on their past experience. If someone has been a very good musician or something, if someone has very good music skills, there is a good chance that he might get attracted to Kirtanam. And if someone, like if you see the in GV and in Chaupati, the good preaching happens in medical colleges. So there are like many doctors there in the Brahmacharya Ashram. GV alone about 8-9 doctors are there, and Chaupati another 10-12 doctors are there. So because the course itself actually makes them artistically inclined, because they will have to draw and model many things. So they naturally become little artistically inclined.
and you will see invariably all the doctors in the DT department. Dressing and painting and all, you know, you will all see the doctors. You know, if you have visited GEV, you know, all the paintings on the ceiling were done by two of the doctors, the painters. So, he says that attraction to particular limbs of devotional service is based on swavasana anusarena. According to one's previous inclinations, only one gets attracted to particular limbs of devotional service. So, therefore, one should understand that if one has particular inclinations, it can be engaged within the realm of devotional service. One does not need additionally any other process to engage one's propensities. It is not like devotional service is there only if one is completely surrendered. But if one has particular inclinations and propensities, no, you need to have the particular duties of varna and ashrama. That is not necessary in one sense. The 64 limbs, in fact, Rupa Goswami says, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are lakhs and lakhs of limbs of devotional service that is mentioned by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Amongst them, I am just presenting the most important amongst those many limbs that Sanatana Goswami talks about. So, therefore, there is ample opportunity within the realm of pure devotional service to engage one's propensities. See, actually, if you see, starting from Varnashram to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti to Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, everything is meant to, in one sense, engage one's propensities. So, for those who have not developed the faith in practice of pure devotional service, so for them, Varnashram engages their propensities in such a way that they can get detached from matter and get somehow attached to transcendence. But if somehow or other they receive the seed of pure devotional service through the chance association of devotees, then bhakti engages their propensities. Uti. So the principle of uti means utaya karma vasana. According to one's vasanas one has accumulated, naturally one will have particular predispositions, and varnashram is one level of engaging those predispositions. But when one comes to the level of one receives the faith in pure devotional service, then the devotional activities engages those predispositions. There is scope for engaging their predispositions within the realm of devotional service. Then, at the level of Raganuga Sadhana, they actually start developing a different kind of predisposition. They get favorably disposed to perform activities following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. So, Raganuga Sadhana gives them appropriate opportunities for that. And when one reaches the stage of Bhava or Prema, they get spontaneously attracted to serving the Supreme Lord with spiritual emotions. That is their predisposition. And at that stage also, there is ample opportunity to engage according to their predispositions. So actually, if you see, starting from the level of Varnashram to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti to Bhava or Prema, all of them give opportunities to engage one's predispositions in such a way that it can pull one from the realm of matter and engage them in transcendence. Like that. But according to one's nishta or shraddha, one accordingly engages in those activities to transcend the material world. If one has karma nishta, his means of transcending is
engaging in the Varnashram activities. If one has Bhakti Nishta, Vaidhi Bhakti Nishta, then he engages in the activities of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to transcend, to spiritualize those inclinations. If one has Raganuga Bhakti Nishta, then he engages in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti to spiritualize those inclinations. And one who is at the stage of Bhava or Prema, his inclinations are already spiritualized. He just have to engage them like that. So, for those who have Jnana Nishta, they have the path of Jnana Mark to engage their propensities like that. Same with Yoga Nishta, those who have Ashtanga Yogi Nishta, they have their limbs of Ashtanga Yoga to engage them, engage their propensities like that. Yoga, there is slight difference, but in terms of many times yoga nishta is not separately mentioned, because sometimes it can be clubbed with karma or jnana. If the aspiration for the yogi is siddhis, then it is clubbed with karma, and when the aspiration is liberation, they are clubbed with jnana, like that. So here it is mentioned that, what do you like? Kirtanam, Smaranam, Ikshanam, Vandanam, Shravanam, Arhanam, anything you can engage according to your taste. Swavasana anusaren. According to your vasana, you engage and spiritualize your vasanas. Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham. Very quickly it destroys the impurities within the heart of that person. Tasmai Shubhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. I offer continual respects to the Lord with all auspicious qualities. Like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Kirtanam indicates both singing the glories of the Lord and recitation of scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Both are Kirtanam. As the Lord is absolute, all these activities performed to please the Lord are also absolute and can give one the same effect as the personal association of the Lord. Chanting, hearing, remembering, worshipping the deities, they actually give personal association of the Lord. They are non-different. It will destroy all the sins. But one should be careful not to commit the seventh offense. Namano baladyasya hi papa buddhi. So one should not commit offense on the strength of the holy name. But otherwise it has the capacity to destroy all the sins. Or the sinful inclinations. But sadhyo indicates immediate. Shwadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate. But at the same time, it is gradual also. So, like for example, we saw the other day, Prabhupada says, you all are so fortunate that you are living at an age when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came. I mean, just came means 5 minutes back. 550 years back he came. But considering that the age of Kali Yuga itself is 4,32,000 years and one Chatur Yuga is 43,20,000 years, 500 years is nothing. But then someone comes and you tell, why are you so late for the Mangalarti? So late means what? 2 minutes late. He is 2 minutes late for the Mangalarti. So therefore, Sadhyaha or Kramena depends on the time scale that you consider. Kramenaiva Paliyeta Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmana. So whether it is Kramena or Sadhya depends on the time scale that you take. If you take a kilometers time scale, then it is Sadhya. If you take a millimeter time scale, then it is Kramena, gradual, like that. So, Lokasya Sadhyo Vidunoti Kalmasham. So the impurities in the heart are destroyed. Actually, in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakur mentions that there are 5 stages of destruction of anarthas within the heart. He says, Ekadesha Vartini, Bahudesha Vartini, Prayiki, Purna, and Atyantiki. 5 stages. And he says, and of the anarthas, there are 4 different kinds of anarthas. Anarthas means unwanted desires. Unwanted desires could be born out of one's past sinful life, Dushkrutotta anartha, or due to one's past pious life, Sukrutotta anartha, or it could be due to one's aparad, one may perform some aparad, or one may also develop some unwanted desires due to practice of bhakti, like in the case of when one starts getting name, fame, glorification due to properly practicing bhakti, one may get attacked, one may get attached to these puja, labh, pratishtha. It is also another kind of anartha. So, Rupa Goswami, Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakur describes that each of these anarthas at different stages, they get destroyed to different degrees. Ekadesha Vartini means one anartha is destroyed. Bahudesha Vartini means many anarthas are destroyed. Prayiki means almost all anarthas are destroyed. And Purna means completely all anarthas are destroyed. And Atyantiki means they are destroyed to such an extent that they will not return back. So he explains that these anarthas, it is Ekadesha Vartini at the stage of Bhajana Kriya, it is Prayiki at the stage of Nishta, and at Ruchi it is Atyantiki, completely gone. Whereas anarthas due to serious aparad, it is Atyantiki only at the stage of Prema. Like that he explains that it is gradual in one sense, Kramena. But considering that the living entity has spent millions of lifetimes in this material world, if you consider that time scale, it is sadhya, immediate, like that. So, that's what is indicated here. Lokasya sadhyo vidunoti kalmasham. Okay, any comments, questions, discussions based on what we have discussed? Yeah, one lifetime also it's possible. Prabhupada has always mentioned that in one lifetime one can perfect this life. So it's very much possible. Depends on our sincerity, depends on the kind of association that we seek. It depends on all of that. Yeah, he says Muhurtardam Katvanga perfected. He actually had a Muhurta only to live. So it depends on if you know exactly what to do to perfect one's life, then one Muhurta is sufficient. Otherwise, one may have many years, but still if one does not know what to do with all those years, then it's just a waste of time. Like that. So that's what here Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning, that choose whatever limb you want, whatever limb of your choice, and you can perfect like that. Yeah, we perform everything, but it is not that 24 hours, even in an institutional setup, 24 hours of your day is not accounted for. You are expected to attend Mangalarti in the morning program, and then your services may take another few hours. Then your eating and taking rest may take another few hours. Easily in anyone's life, anywhere between 6 to 12 hours is at his own disposal. He can use it as he likes in a devotional way. So that time is there to engage in those activities, those devotional activities according to our liking. Like that. So that's why I said predominantly one limb. Otherwise, Rupa Goswami says that the first 20 limbs and the last 5 limbs of the 64 limbs are non-negotiable limbs. They have to be followed. But amongst those 25, one may get predominantly attracted to one limb and he may predominantly do it, but he has to do the other limbs also. Like that. Vichakshanayat charanopasadanat sangam yudasyo bayatontaratmanah vindantihi brahma gatim gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So he says, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. I offer respects to that person hearing whose qualities is most auspicious. Hearing about whose qualities is most auspicious. Yat charana upasadanat, only by worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, vichakshana, even the jnanis, sangam yudasya, they give up attachment, ubhayataha. Ubhayataha means to this world and the next world. This world means bhuloka, next world means swargaloka, which the Karmakandiya scriptures recommend. So, only by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord do the jnanis destroy attachment to this world and the next world. And where do these attachments reside? Antaratmana, which may reside within their heart. So, they destroy these attachments which are within their heart. And vindantihi brahmagatim. Vindanti means they attain. Brahmagatim means their spiritual goal of Brahman. Gata klamaha. Klama means fatigue or tiredness. Gata klama means without any problem. Otherwise, klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam. Otherwise, meditation on the impersonal aspect is very troublesome. So, that's what he is telling here. Vichakshana yat charana upasadanat sangam vyudasya ubhayato antaratmanah vindantihi brahma sukam gataklama tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah. Like that. Can you recollect? Whatever English or Sanskrit, whatever you can recollect. Vichakshana, even the jnanis, yat charana upasadanat, only by serving the lotus feet or only by worshipping the lotus feet of the personal form of the Lord. What happens to the vichakshana by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord? Sangam vyudasya. He gives up attachment to what? This world and next world, ubayataha, this and next. And where is that attachment? Antaratmana, within the heart. So he gives up that attachment to this world and next, which is there within the heart. And then he goes to Brahmagati. Vindantihi Brahmagatim. And is that difficult for him? No, easy. Gataklama. Easily, without any fatigue, he achieves it. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to that personality. He hearing about whom is most auspicious, like that. So we will chant this verse 3 times and see if we can memorize it. Vichakshana yattarno pasadanat sangam yudasyo bayatontaratmanah vindanti hi brahma sukam gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Vichakshanaya charano pasadanat sangam yudasyo bayatontaratmanah vindanti hi brahma sukam gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat sangam yudasya bayatontaratmanah vindanti hi brahma sukam gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Can someone recollect the first line? Next line. Third line. Vindanti. Vindanti hi brahma gatim gataklamas. Fourth line is easy. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Okay, first 2 lines anyone would like to recollect? First 2 lines, anyone else? Sangam Yudasya. Next 2 lines. Vindantihi brahma sukam gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. You have to become little more active and participating. You can't just be passive. Okay. So together once we will all chant this verse. If you don't know, you can look at the screen. If you know, try to recollect without looking at the screen. Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat sangam yudasyo bayatontaratmanah vindanti hi brahma sukam gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Krishna's ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita is, what is the ultimate instruction? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. And what is the means for that surrender? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Persons who are intelligent would take serious note of these instructions and become a devotee. Persons who are intelligent. That is why I mentioned many times in the scriptures talk about intelligence. A person who worships the Supreme Lord is intelligent. That is not talking about really intelligence. It is talking about Shraddha. It is not talking about Buddhi. And whenever people who do not worship the Supreme Lord are criticized as mudas, it is not a criticism, but it is actually lamentation. Oh, how unfortunate. If you see the verse Avajananti Mam Muda Manushim Tanumashritam, there the word Muda is translated as unfortunate by Baldevidya Bhushan and Vishnu Chavedra Gurundar. Explanation. And if you see Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakriti Mashrita, the word Mahatma is translated as fortunate. Because it is only by fortune that one receives the seed of devotional service by meeting a devotee. So if someone is not worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has never met a devotee, he cannot be criticized for that. It is a lamentable situation. But if someone has received devotional service,
but he loses it because of his offensive attitude, then he should be criticized. But if someone never got an opportunity to receive the seed of devotion because of lack of association, then such a person cannot be criticized for that. So whenever these terminologies, mudas, or sometimes when Prabhupada criticizes them as rascals, it is in a mood of lamentation rather than a mood of criticism. So one should understand that. If one understands how one gets devotional service, then one will definitely not criticize. That is why a devotee's mood is Ishware Prema Tad Adineshu Maitri Balisheshu Kripa, not Balisheshu Ninda. So devotees do not criticize those people who do not have bhakti and do not worship the Supreme Lord, because they know that these people are unfortunate that they never got an opportunity to associate with devotees. So they feel a deep sense of compassion. And where do they get that sense of compassion from? From the scriptures. The scriptures impart, that is the nature of Shraddha which is born out of scriptures. When that Shraddha or faith in worshipping the Supreme Lord is not born out of scriptures, then that kind of Shraddha is symptomatized by lack of Maitri towards the Vaishnavas and lack of Kripa towards the innocent people. But if that Shraddha in worshipping the Supreme Lord is born out of scriptures, Shastriya Shraddha, then it is naturally accompanied by these other three qualities. Tad Adineshu Maitri Balisheshu Kripa and Dvishatsu Upeksha. Like that.
Okay. So, then Prabhupada continues. There are various instructions in Bhagavad Gita for various varnas, various dharmas, various sannyasa, for varna dharma, kshatriya dharma, sannyas dharma, then there is description of karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, etc. But one who, after reading Bhagavad Gita, surrenders to Krishna to perform loving devotional service has understood the essence of all the Vedas. So one, if one has really understood the essence of all the Vedas, then one would surrender to Krishna. And it is not a question of understanding. What one understands depends on where one's Shraddha is. And Shraddha is based on experience. For devotees, it is in the form of Agyat Sukriti. So therefore, it is not just intelligence. It's not that just if you show all these verses, like we were discussing the other day, you show to the demigod worshippers, you see what Bhagavad Gita talks about demigod worship. You think by reading that they will give up demigod worship and develop attraction to bhakti? No, not necessarily. Because it's not just by intelligence, it is by Shraddha. And Shraddha one gets by accumulation of Agyat Sukriti. Such a process involves nine limbs as mentioned in previous verse. Yat Kirtanam, Yat Smaranam, Yat Vandanam, and so on. Then one can achieve Brahmagati. Otherwise, pursuance of any other path for achieving success is like beating empty paddy husk. A handful of paddy is better than heaps of husk, Prabhupada says. A handful of paddy is better than heaps of husk. Of course, in today's day and age, husk also has some value. You can sell the husk also and make money. Like that. But you can't eat the husk and fill your stomach. Similarly, even little bhakti is better than karma yoga, jnana yoga, etc. Yesterday we had a long, I had a long discussion with our Sankarshan Prabhu. So we were discussing that there is a difference between purity of faith and strength of faith. So purity of faith is characterized by pure devotional faith, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, and so on. Strength of faith is characterized by it's indicated by these terminologies like kanishta adhikari, madhyam adhikari, uttam adhikari, like that. So that indicates the strength of faith, and the purity is indicated by these terminologies. You may have a person who is an uttama adhikari but having karma mishra bhakti shraddha, or a jnana mishra bhakti shraddha, like the four kumaras. They were uttama adhikaris in jnana mishra bhakti, whereas a neophyte devotee practicing pure devotional service, he may have a very komala shraddha, very neophyte, very soft faith. So from a very external point of view, it may seem like, they are just knocking the doors of liberation, whereas this person, wherever he is knocking, he is seeing only anarthas all around him. It is a very beginning stage, whereas that person is almost at the end point of liberation. But still, our acharyas always put this neophyte devotee having pure devotional faith on a much higher pedestal than the uttama adhikari of having a mixed faith. So there is a difference between purity of faith and strength of faith. These two are two different things. But having said that, if one has very soft but pure faith, if it is not properly protected in nice association, it can become mixed faith. When attacked by, especially in a place like Vrindavan, if he has like very soft, very pliable faith, and he goes and sits in various Bhagavat Saptaha, then very quickly that soft, unprotected faith can become mixed faith. So it opens that a weak faith is prone to predatory attack. But one who has very strong faith, he cannot be attacked by predators, because he is shastre yuktaucha nipuna. He is expert in the conclusions of the shastras. So he knows how to protect himself from all these predatory attack. But still, one should be extremely careful about what is the source from which we are hearing. If we are indiscriminate in that, even an uttama shraddha can actually get contaminated. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed through the way in which he dealt with Mukunda. This comes in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So after the what is that leela? Mahaprakash Leela, he showed his darshan to everyone, but he didn't call Mukunda. So everyone else was concerned. My dear Lord, why didn't you call Mukunda? So he said, he will come and hear whatever Bhagavatam discussion happens. After that, he will go to a Mayavadi sammel and sit there and hear the Mayavadi speak also. So first he will show his affection to me, and by going to the Mayavadis, he is taking a stick and beating me on my back. So I will not show my darshan to him. Like that he very clearly indicates. Mukunda is a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even for such a person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict.
ಮಾಯಾವಾದ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಶುನಿಲೆ ಹಯ ಸರ್ವನಾಶ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಈಸಿ. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಮಿನೇಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ರೀಡ್, ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್, ವೇರ್ ಎವರ್ ವಿ ಲೆಂಡ್ ಅವರ್ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಸಬ್ಮಿಸಿವ್ ವೇ. ಸಬ್ಮಿಸಿವ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಶ್ಯೂರ್ ಶಾಟ್ ವೇ ಆಫ್ ಶೇಪಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಫೇತ್. ವೇರ್ ಎವರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸಬ್ಮಿಸಿವ್ಲಿ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಶೇಪ್ ಅವರ್ ಫೇತ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೈ ಈವನ್ ಹನುಮಾನ್ಜಿ, ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಟಾಕ್ ವಿತ್ ರಾವಣ, ರಾವಣ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಹೈ ಪೆಡೆಸ್ಟಲ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹನುಮಾನ್ಜಿ ಎನ್ಶೂರ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ವುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಸೀಟ್ ಹೈಯರ್ ದೆನ್ ರಾವಣ, ಸೊ ದಟ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಬ್ಮಿಸಿವ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ he was, even someone of the caliber of Hanumanji was worried that if I sit down and submissively hear from Ravana, he is such a charismatic personality that maybe I may also change like that. So once His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who is a temple president, one of the temple presidents of Chowpatty, he was sharing that once he was in Vrindavan and there was a very famous Bhagavat Katha that was happening. So, he just had a curiosity. What do they speak in these kind of Bhagavat Kathas? You know, he had curiosity, not just to learn from them, but he was telling that, you know, there was a huge crowd and there were many chairs lying there. He stacked some 7-8 chairs behind everyone, just so that he would have an asan, he would not have an asan, you know, lower than the speaker. So he stacked some 7-8-9 chairs and somehow he climbed on some other chair and went and sat on top, just so that, you know, because he wanted to hear, at the same time he didn't want to lend a submissive ear. Of course, so this is something that we have to be always careful about, where we are hearing from submissively. Sometimes we indiscriminately hear. Sometimes as devotee we feel like, you know, we could hear, you know, sometimes devotees also hear from Narendra Modi's speech or, you know, some politician's speech who may be talking about Hindutva or something like that. And eventually over a period of time, you can see that they are no longer standing for bhakti, they are now standing for the Hindu dharma. So therefore we have to be careful about our acharyas have given sufficient literatures for us to get absorbed for many many lifetimes, so we don't have to hunt here and there trying to hear from other people like that. I don't know. We have to ask them. Then he says, tapasvino dana parayashasvino. Yeah. Can you pass the mic quickly?
That you are discussing regarding this criticism and lamentation.
What?
Criticism. And
yeah,
lamentation.
Yeah.
You know, that if someone doesn't get mercy of the Lord, we should lament for them, not criticism.
Correct.
How to see India? There are
how,
many.
How
India,
to see?
India's condition. See, Indian, they know about Krishna, they know about other demigods, but still someone is not accepting Krishna consciousness. Now, how to see this? It come under criticism?
How to see means, yeah, see, that's what they might see. It is not a question of knowledge. That is the basic paradigm shift that we have to make. It is not about knowledge, it's about Sukriti. It's about Sukriti. If one does not have sufficient Sukriti, so then he will not accept.
So that means it comes under lamentation, that we have to lament for them, not that we should criticize.
If you criticize, then you lose the chance to preach to them.
How can you preach to those whom you are criticizing?
So here criticism means that suppose those are going to this Bhaga Sapta, although they know everything.
Yeah, because they are receiving their Sukriti from a person who has mixed faith. So they will also be receiving that mixed Sukriti only. They may get Bhogonmukhi Sukriti or Mokshonmukhi Sukriti, but they will not get Bhaktionmukhi Sukriti, because that they can receive only from devotees. So as much as they go and hear from them, you should give them an opportunity to hear from the books of Prabhupada and other acharyas. Then they will get Bhaktionmukhi Sukriti.
Just like one gets Sukriti, previous experience or past, but at the same time also we hear that personal intervene of Mahat, pure devotee, like Prabhupada went.
That's how you get Sukriti. You get Sukriti from Mahat Kripa only.
Yeah, like 25 persons have registered in our 6-session program, and suppose I am giving a seminar, and after all of them, they attended the classes, seminar, and after the session is over,
only 2 people come.
Some few remain.
Okay. See, 25 people came, but of the 25 who came, you think you are the first devotee who is touching them. Rupa Goswami mentions that it takes many lifetimes of accumulation of Sukriti before it matures into Shraddha. So therefore, this is a very important thing that we have to understand, especially in preaching. So when we think that someone is coming to our 6-session course and 2 of them, so of the 25, some people could have already 90% Sukriti. They may need only 10% more, and you may give that 10%. Someone may come with 80% Sukriti. You will give 10%. They will go to the next temple somewhere else, and they will get that 10%. They will join there. And someone may come with 0% Sukriti, and you may be the person giving them the first 10%. So therefore, there is no way we can find out what is their Sukriti balance. Okay. Many times when we see that, Prabhu, I preached to him for only 2 days. And then he started chanting. That may not necessarily be our glory. As they say, the last straw that broke the camel's back. So there is a camel which can carry 500 kilograms. And it is already carrying 499 kilograms. And we put our bag also on top of the camel. And immediately it's back broke, because beyond 500 kilos it cannot carry. So we think that the camel's back broke because of my bag's weight. No, it was already carrying 499 kilograms. So just that 1-2 kilogram bag, when you put it, broke. So therefore, our efforts in preaching, when it immediately fructifies, we should understand that Krishna has mercifully sent some 90-95% category people to me, so that I could just add the tulsi and offer it to the Supreme Lord.
It's not ready, just offer.
Sometimes, just ready for offering. And in some cases, like we may have to collect the ingredients and start cooking, and then someone else will put the tulsi and offer it. So, he will become someone else's counselee. We are under illusion if we think he is my counselee because of purely my efforts. And we are also under illusion if we think, I put so much effort on this person and he has become someone else's counselee. So both are under illusion, because we don't see the hands of thousands other Vaishnavas in the past lives, who has contributed to that person's accumulating solid Agyat Sukriti, which is translating into
Shraddha. So therefore, we can just play our role. That role could be to either collect the ingredients. In some cases, it could be baking the cake. In some cases, it could be adding the cream or, you know, topping. In some cases, it could be adding the cherry. In some other cases, it could be just putting the tulsi and offering it to the Supreme Lord. So, if you are fortunate, Krishna may send you ready-made cakes. You put the tulsi, offer it, make him your counselee. If Krishna wants to purify you, he may send you 5%, 10%, 20% cases. You try hard. They will come only for prasadam. They will take prasadam and leave. They will never come for the class. They will never touch the bead bag. And you think that I am just wasting my time. But the point is, no, we are not wasting the time. Because every bowl of khichdi that he eats in an appreciating way is accumulating agyat sukriti. So we have to redefine our understanding of what constitutes preaching. Preaching is not just how many 16 rounders you make. Because there are many devotees around the world who are distributing books, who are distributing prasadam in various villages. They will never get to actually cultivate a devotee and make him into a devotee or his counselee. But that does not mean they are not preaching. Preaching means you may take a few people, spend more and more and more and more time with one person and make him into a devotee. Others may be preaching in a way, you know, they may give little sukriti for many people. These are two different kinds of preaching, like that.
Prabhuji, just at the same time when you hear that Srila Prabhupada went to West and he said that he didn't have any sukriti, I made it. So how to understand
that? Is true with all the acharyas. That is the way in which, not to take any credit away from Prabhupada, but if one understands how does one get qualification for bhakti, that is the way everyone gets qualification for bhakti. Even amongst Prabhupada's, we hear about only those persons who met Prabhupada and took up to Krishna consciousness. If that is 5%, there are 95% more people who met Prabhupada, heard from Prabhupada, never became devotees also. We never hear about them. So, that is the point. And there are other people who saw Prabhupada, met Prabhupada, heard from Prabhupada. 20 years later, they take initiation from Tamal Krishna Maharaj or Bhakti Charu Maharaj and they become devotees. Does it mean that Prabhupada had no potency to make them into devotees and his disciples had more potency? No, it's not like that.
Accumulation.
Yeah, it's a cumulative effect, actually. Okay. Tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vidasumangala kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. I offer continuous respects to the Lord who is full of all auspicious qualities. Vinaya darpanam, without worshipping the Supreme Lord, tapasvina, the jnanis, danapara, the karmis, yashasvina, he says some specialized kind of karmis, manasvina, the yogis, mantravida, the scholars of the Vedas, sumangala, the followers of proper conduct, kshemam na vindanti, one cannot attain any benefit of that practice if that practice does not have the element of worshipping the Supreme Lord. So like that. So, on one side, if their practice does not have the element of bhakti, it cannot bestow any benefit. On the other hand, whatever benefit can be bestowed by the process of karma, jnana, yoga, etc., it can be achieved by practicing only bhakti. Which means, the active ingredient is bhakti only.
like if you take a paracetamol tablet, it has a base in which the active ingredient paracetamol is there. Okay. Sometimes when children, they can't take that big tablet. So if you see, there are paracetamol syrup for children, where there is no base, direct paracetamol is administered to in small quantities to children, because they cannot swallow the big tablet. But that big tablet also has only that much paracetamol, rest is all base only. So if that little bit of paracetamol is not there, even if you take a huge tablet, it is not going to cure the fever. But without that base, if you take even little bit of that paracetamol only, it will cure that fever. So the point is, the active ingredient is bhakti only. But because that person cannot have shraddha in pure bhakti, therefore these other processes are there, other limbs, ashtanga, jnana, karma is there, just to make him feel comfortable. But the moment he gets that seed of pure devotional service, faith in the process, he can immediately give up all the other practices of karma, jnana, yoga, and achieve the same benefit. Like that. That's what is indicated here. Tapasvino, dhanapara, yashasvino, manasvino, mantravida, sumangala, kshemam na vindanti vinayadarpanam, tasmai subhadrashravase namo namaha. Like that. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, selfish motives also are of two kinds, personal and extended, but both are equally bad, he says. There could be selfishness and extended selfishness, as Prabhupada says, but both are selfish. One may be working for himself, or one may be working for his family, or one may work for his community, or one may work for his nation, or one may work for his humanity. It is all selfishness and extended selfishness. Prabhupada gives an analogy. A thief, whether he robs for himself or for his family or for his country, he is equally punishable. So therefore, all these people, they may be selfish or extended selfish. But therefore, if they do not worship the Supreme Lord, then all are equally punishable, like that Prabhupada is indicating. Therefore, people should understand that the perfection of personal interest is only possible if it coincides with the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, all the attempts at karma or jnana or dhyana, etc., without the element of bhakti, cannot fructify. But if only bhakti is there, then even without karma, jnana, yoga, etc., it can give the same result. Is it clear? So if one wants to achieve the benefit of karma, of going to swarga, one can get it by only practicing bhakti. Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena bhakti yogena means jnana karmadi anavrita bhakti. That practice without having the element of karma, jnana, yoga, etc., when it is practiced, one can achieve the goals of karma, jnana, yoga also. It's much more easy. Like that. Okay. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavanaha kasadaya yenyecha papa yadapa shraya shraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. So I offer my respects to the Supreme Lord of inconceivable power. Prabhavishnave namaha. Prabhavishnave means, Vishnave means power. He has inconceivable power to purify anything to the extent kirata, huna, andra, pulinda, pulkasha, abira, shumba, yavanaha, kasadaya.
So even though these may seem to be like seem to be indicating geographical locations, but actually Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in one of his purports, he says, maybe it's this purport only, he says that there are different kinds of pratiloma union. Now, there is anuloma pratilom, not anulom vilom. So anulom pratilom means a favorable union or an unfavorable union. So there are many different kinds of pratiloma union, unfavorable. The general understanding that we have is, if the bride or the woman is of a higher varna than the male, then it is an unfavorable union, pratiloma. But that is only the generic explanation. There are many more details to it. There are many, many more details to it. And there are unlimited combinations of pratiloma union. And he says this kirata, hona, andhra, pulinda, pulkasha, all these things indicate a particular combination of pratiloma union which makes them actually antyajas. Like that. In one of the purports, I forget what he explains this. Yeah. He says, all these people, ye anyecha papa, and others who may not have been mentioned but have very sinful tendencies, yad apashraya ashraya, by taking shelter of those who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shudyanti, they become purified of their prarabdha karma. It is also geographical, because such people and their descendants probably ruled a particular area or something like that. But it does not just refer to the geographical location. It has its roots in a particular kind of pratiloma union. That's how he explains. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, therefore the whole world politics should be guided by the devotees of the Lord. Why? Yad apashraya ashraya shudyanti. If you want to purify the people of this world, the people should take shelter of devotees. So the people will take shelter of devotees if they are guiding the whole world. So he says, therefore the devotees should be guiding the whole world. The politicians need not worry about their post, as the devotees have no desire for post. Therefore, by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, a great change can happen in the world situation. So what we need to do? We need to preach. That's all. Just by kirtanam, all the misunderstandings between the nations will vanish. Then people can think about going back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada is, it needs tremendous faith in the holy name to offer such a solution. Svalpa punyavatam rajan vishwasonai vajayate. For those who have less sukriti, they cannot have such kind of a faith in Nama Brahmani, Vaishnave. First he said Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas should guide the whole world. Then the whole world will be purified. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave. Svalpa punyavatam rajan vishwasone vajayate. For those who have meager sukriti, they cannot appreciate the special potency of these four. But Prabhupada is telling that, how can you bring about peace between nations? He says, Nama Sankirtan. Anyone of us have that kind of a faith? That, you know, we'll go and as a peace solution, offer Nama Sankirtan as a solution. I mean, it's very difficult, you know. He had such a tremendous faith in the holy name. Just by kirtanam, all the misunderstandings between nations will vanish. Then people can think about going back home, back to Godhead. There is no disqualification in bhakti. All we need to do is to take shelter of a pure devotee. Another similar verse comes little later. Tevai vidanti atidaranti cha deva mayam stri shudra huna shabara apipapa jiva yad yadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha tiryak janapikim o shrutadharanaye. He says, all that needs to be done is adbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha. One has to put oneself under the tutelage of a devotee who can train us in shila shiksha. How do we conduct ourselves as a devotee? So if we learn this about Vaishnava Sadachar from a devotee, anyone can become purified. Sri Shudra Huna Shabara Apipapa Jiva. Yadi Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha. Only he must be willing to get trained under a devotee. But one may say, Prabhuji, I am beyond training. I am so fallen, no one can train me. One may say like that. So, Shukadeva Goswami says, or maybe it's Brahmaji who is telling, Tiryak janapi kim u, shrutadharanaye. He says, even a dog can be trained. He says, you tell, Jimmy, come here, it will come. Jimmy, jump, it will jump. Jimmy, catch, it will catch. He says, even a dog can be trained. You are a human being. Why you can't be trained? Like that he says. Tiryak janapi kim u shrutadharanaye. What then to speak of human beings who can hear and assimilate the instructions? Whereas animals, what is their capacity to hear and assimilate instructions? You are a human being. That's why Rupa Goswami says, the qualification for taking up to bhakti, he says, nrimatrasya adhikarita. What is the qualification? Who is qualified? Human beings are qualified, he says. All human beings are qualified. Like that. He says, there is no disqualification in bhakti. All we need to do is to take shelter of a pure devotee. Also, a spiritual master can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world. Prabhupada showed by his own example. Therefore, by the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone can preach the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita all over the world. But however most degraded people can, but however even the most degraded people can be purified, because the Lord is Prabhavishnu. Is all powerful. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna gives this promise. He can in a moment purify anyone actually. Therefore, there is no consideration of birthright in bhakti. One should not think that only people who are pious, they are qualified for bhakti. Piety can be a qualification, piety can be a disqualification. Okay. Like, I remember my mother grew up in a Sri Vaishnava family only, but nevertheless, you know, very, very orthodox. Actually, not that orthodox, but still, compared to many of our practices, quite orthodox. So, she would not let anyone in her kitchen. Even some devotees, you know, used to visit her, and they used to, they can sit in the hall and talk, but she would not let them inside the kitchen. No. Whomever you may be, kitchen is, you know, you are not, because we cook for the Lord. Oh, but we are devotees. I said, no. So, I remember
that was my first South India Yatra, 2010. Yeah, 2010. That was my mother's first South India Yatra also. So she had come. Her ancestral home is in Srirangam. So, on that particular visit, when they came to Srirangam, my mother took some of her friends who had come for Yatra to Srirangam, to her home there. And I remember I was also there, and one of the other Brahmachari's mother, who had been a devotee for a longer time, Nityanand Prabhu's mother. So, she brought His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's Mahaprasadam. So she came running and she told my mother, "You know what I have?" Mother said, "What do you have?" She said, "I have Maharaj's Maha." My mother asked, "What is Maharaj's Maha?" She said, "Maharaj's Mahaprasadam." And my mother asked, "What is Maharaj's Mahaprasadam?" Head. "Maharaj's Mahaprasadam." And "You mean the leftovers from his plate?" She said, "Yes, yes." And my mother said, "No, thank you. You please eat, I can't take." So even though she has been practicing, so even, you know, Bhaktapada Duliyara, Bhaktapada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, Tina Mahabal. And these three are the most potent forms of actually just flying towards our destination. But because of her pious upbringing, she was just rejecting something which could have taken her very quickly. 10 years down the line, nothing has changed. She has been chanting 16 rounds for 12-13 years now. Still, when it comes to, you know, Maha Maha Prasad, she said, "No, thank you." Because I remember when we were growing up, in all these years, in our house, no one eats anyone else's leftover. Never. Even when we were small children, I never ever remember my father or mother eating something that we half ate and left. That the destination of that is dustbin only. Whatever it may be, it is never ever. So you cannot say actually piety can cause bhakti in one sense, or impiety will not cause bhakti. So the cause for bhakti is neither piety or impiety. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Like that. Okay. Sayesha atma atma vatamadishwaras trayimayo dharma mayastapomaya gatavyalikai rajasankaradibir vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam. Sa esha adishwarah. He alone is the supreme lord. Atma atmavatam. He is only worshipped as the Atma by the jnanis and yogis. Sarvasya chaham hridisanya vishto. Krishna says, I am the one present as the Paramatma in everyone's heart. Sa esha atma atmavatam. Those who are meditators of the Atma, they are called atmavatam, the jnanis and yogis. He is the Atma for them. Trayimayah. He is worshipped by the knower of the Vedas also. Dharmamayah. He is worshipped by the followers of Dharma also. Tapomayah. And he is worshipped by the performers of austerities also. So he is worshipped by all, but he says that, but his qualities cannot be known even by those who are free of deceit, such as Brahma and Shiva. Let that Lord be merciful to me. Gatavyalikair ajashankaradibir vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam, he says. So here Prabhupada and Vishwanathacharya Thakur give slightly different understanding. So here one of them explained that
Gatavyalikair means those who are free of deceit, those who are very thoroughly honest. And Ajashankaradibir is Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Vitarkya Lingo means who cannot be understood even by Brahmaji or Lord Shiva, who are completely free of all deceit. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that it is mentioned. So that glorifies the unknowability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Vishnachakra Thakur explains, Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir Vidakkalingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. Only those who are free of deceit, like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyama Mabijanati Yavanyaschasmitatpataha Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya, like that. So if you take that understanding, it glorifies the process of bhakti as the only means to know the Supreme Lord. If you take the other understanding, that even those who are completely free of deceit cannot understand the Supreme Lord, it indicates the it glorifies the unknowability of the Supreme Lord. What it means is, they cannot completely know the Supreme Lord. What to speak of the devotees, even the Lord himself cannot know himself completely. Because there is a constant competition between the omniscience of the Supreme Lord and the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord's omnipotence is not static, it is dynamic, it keeps on increasing. And his omniscience also is not static, it keeps on increasing. So there is a dynamic equilibrium that exists between the omniscience and omnipotence of the Supreme Lord. Like that. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, although the Supreme Lord is the Lord of all the paths, he can only be known by those who are Gatavyalikai, that is only devotees. So, as Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhrdam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Ritchati. So, it is mentioned that the Karmis approach, they understand the Supreme Lord as Yajna Book. I am offering all these offerings in the Yajna and he is the enjoyer of this Yajna. Like that. And the Jnanis worship him as Tapo Book. Oh, he is the one who accepts all our tapasya and gives our goal of liberation. And the Yogis accept him as Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is that person who is present within all of our heart, whom we worship within our heart. Whereas a devotee, he understands and appreciates the Supreme Lord as Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam, as the most well-wishing friend of all. Therefore, a devotee is not just satisfied in using the Lord as an abideya. For the karmis, jnanis, yogis, worship of the Lord is the abideya. Krishna is their abideya. For the devotees, Krishna is both their abideya and prayojan. Okay. So, they don't want to have anything from Krishna. They want to have Krishna. They want to have a relationship with Krishna. But the others want to achieve either swarga by worshipping Krishna or mukti by worshipping Krishna. But they don't want a relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Krishna reveals himself only to the devotees. That's what Prabhupada is indicating here. Even though others also worship the Supreme Lord, but only devotees can know the Supreme Lord. Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir
vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam, like that he is offering his prayer. So here Prabhupada further continues. Why is it that only devotees can understand? Because only a devotee is nishkama. Bhukti mukti siddhi kama sakale ashanta krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. That is, he has no selfish desires. He only desires to please the Lord. So therefore the Lord reveals himself to that person. But the others, such as karma yogis, jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis, have selfish desires. They have bhukti, mukti or siddhi. They desire one of these. Like that. Light also can be switched off actually. There is sufficient. Fan can be switched off, light. At least for another 15 minutes we can go on without having to switch on the... Those who are without pretensions will naturally choose bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada says, gata vyalikair means it refers only to devotees. It cannot refer to anyone else, he says. Why? See, deceit means you are trying to please someone, not with the purpose of pleasing them, but you want something from them. So that is deceit in one sense. Like for example, we may try to please someone so that, you know, he has only one and one of those things, but 3-4 people are asking him for the same item and you want it. So you may go try to please him and, you know, try to give him some gifts and things like that. But that is in one sense deceit, because you really, your purpose of your visit is not to please that person, but you want to get that one particular thing that he has. So the karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, they want something in return. And but for the devotees, they want only a relationship with Krishna. So for them, Krishna is both their abhideya and prayojan. And a prayojan is always more valuable than abhideya. That which you are, the end is always more valuable than the means. Because after you achieve the end, people don't even bother about the means. Okay, so therefore, those who are after liberation, if they come to know that, oh, you know what? You can't get liberation by worshipping Krishna. You have to worship this someone, some other personality. Then they will give up worshipping Krishna and they will worship that some other personality, because they are bothered about liberation. But for devotees, they want Krishna only. So therefore Krishna reveals himself only to devotees. Those who are without pretensions will naturally choose bhakti yoga and Krishna. And he gives the example of Arjuna only. Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. Prabhupada says, in the beginning Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction, for he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of karma yoga, jnana yoga, hatha yoga and also bhakti yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without any pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight, and thus he became desireless. So Arjuna did not, in the end Arjuna fought, not because he was a Kshatriya, because Krishna wanted him to fight. So his desire to fight, his finally agreeing to fight, was not based on Varnashram considerations. It was purely based on the consideration of being a loving devotee of Krishna. So one should not say that, you see, till the end, even though Arjuna was a pure devotee, still he fought the battle, na? But he fought, his fighting the battle
was for pleasing Krishna. That we have to understand. So one should not say that Arjuna till the end did not give up his kshatriya. Yes, he did not, and of course he has the responsibility of setting the right example for others also. But in the end, Prabhupada almost always, whenever you see, he emphasizes this point that Arjuna fought to please Krishna. That is the point we have to note here. Brahma and Lord Shiva are mentioned because they are Sampradaya Acharyas and Gatavyalikair. Therefore, the lesson that Prabhupada gives from this purport is that the Supreme Lord is the Lord of all paths. That is, all of them can achieve perfection only by worshipping the Supreme Lord, but only the unpretentious devotees can realize Krishna. Everyone should worship Him to achieve their perfection, but only the unpretentious people can actually realize Him, and that is devotees, like that. Then he says, Shriyav Patir Yagya Patir Prajapatir Dhyam Patir Loka Patir Darapatihi Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Patihi. Shriyav Pati, he is the protector of prosperity. Yagyapati, he is the protector of sacrifice. Prajapati, he is the protector of all citizens. Dhyampati, he is the protector of intelligence. And he says that Lokapati, he is the protector of all the planets. And Dharapati, he is the protector of all the earth planet also. But Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam. But he is not just the Pati, but he is the Gati also of the Andakas, Vrishnis and Satvatas. They are all Yadus. Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satam Pati. May that Lord and Master of the devotees, may he be pleased with me. Like that, Shukadev Goswami is offering his prayers. He is the Pati, protector of everyone. But for devotees, he protects the devotees also. But he is not just the Pati, but he is the Gati of the devotees. He is their destination. He is their prayojan. Twayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate asakrit ratim mudvahata dadda gange vogam mudanvati. So, that's what Kunti Maharani is praying. May my mati flow towards your gati. Like that she is praying. Or she says, may my mati develop rati towards the gati. Like that. So, that's what here Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning. He is Shriyavpati, Yagyapati, Prajapati, Dhyampati, Lokapatir, Dharapati. But Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam. But for the Yadus, you are their Pati and you are their Gati. Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satam Pati. May that Lord who is the master of all the devotees, may he be pleased with me. Like that she is, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is offering his prayers. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, since Shukadeva Goswami is one of the prominent Gatavyalikas, Gatavyalikas means sincere devotees, he is expressing his own realized perception of Krishna. What is Shukadeva Goswami's realized perception of Krishna? As being the sum total of all perfections, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the sum total of all supreme perfections. Shriyavpati, Yagyapati, Prajapati, Dhyampati, Lokapati, Dharapati, Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam. So Prabhupada here writes, I will read, you tell me what is Prabhupada talking about. Everyone is seeking the favor of Mother Lakshmi, Shriyavpati. But
she is running to serve Vishnu. So not Shriyapati only. So Chalapi Yachir Najahati Karhichit. What is that verse in the first canto? Yadyapyasau Parshvagato Rahogatas Tatapi Tasyangri Yugam Navam Navam Pade Padeka Virameta Tatpadad Chalapi Yachir Najahati Karhichit. So it is mentioned that even though Mother Lakshmi is chanchala, she does not stay in one place for so long, but that Lakshmi wants to permanently stay only serving the lotus feet of that Lord. That indicates that the lotus feet of the Lord is not ordinary, it is transcendental, like that. See, everyone is running after Lakshmi, but Lakshmi wants to serve only Vishnu. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are thousands of Lakshmi serving Krishna. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevimanam. All of them are manifestations of the Hladini Shakti. A partial manifestation of the Hladini Shakti of the Lord is Rasalila. And this Rasalila is not a mundane sex act, Prabhupada says. Otherwise, neither will Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is considered as Nyasi Shiromani, the best amongst all the renunciates, recommend Raganuga Sadhana, nor will Shukadeva Goswami speak about it. Okay. Raga Marga Bhakti Loke Karite Pracharan. Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunayava Tirnaha Kalau Samarpayitam Unnata Ujwala Rasam Swabhakti Shriyam. If it was anything mundane, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not come to distribute that Unnata Ujwala Rasa. Jaya Jaya Jwala Rasa Sarva Rasa Sar Parakiya Bhaveyaha Vrajete Prachar. So he says, then I will read, now you tell what Prabhupada is talking about. Those who are not Gatavyalikas, they worship the demigods through yajna. But the Gatavyalikas know that Krishna is only Yajnapati. Therefore, how do they worship him? Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. So the Gatavyalikas also perform yajna, but they perform Sankirtan Yajna. Okay. I will, next line. He says, Krishna says, Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha Dhyampatihi. I give intelligence, remembrance and forgetfulness. Therefore, not everyone is equally intelligent. Like that. Then Prabhupada writes, all the conditioned souls want to lord it over material nature, but factually, only Lord is the controller of all the planets, or all the living entities and the jivas are controlled, Lokapati. And why is Krishna addressed as the Pati and Gati of Vrishnis, Andakas and Satvatas? Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Last paragraph. All these qualifications as the different types of Pati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Shri Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami has therefore especially mentioned that Pati and Gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Shukadeva Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings. Like that. Okay. So,
It's 12:30 now. So we'll pause here and we will convene back at 1:30 and continue, complete this chapter and then move on to the fifth chapter of Bhagavatam. So thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.